Revelation chapter 21. Also, if you can keep my brother in your prayers, he also has COVID, and he's having a hard time fighting it off as well. He's coming up on day 9 himself, and I just pray that these folks get better. Revelation chapter 21, look at verse 5. It says, "And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful." A couple weeks ago, we were looking at the subject of after the ages. If you'll remember, we've covered all the ages since Adam and Eve, the divisions of the Bible, and then we finish that up once there's a new heaven and new earth, because the ages are only, you have to have a beginning and an end, so you have 7 ages on this earth. But then after that, the Lord makes a new heaven and a new earth, and so I began a short series called After the Ages. And basically it's saying what's going to be on this new heaven and new earth. And we looked at exactly how different it's going to be when all these ages on this earth are through and the earth is, and heavens are destroyed by fire. And what we learned is that there's going to be a lot of new things for people to experience. We learned that starting in Revelation chapter 21 that there's going to be a new heaven. There will not be 3 heavens like there is today. Remember, right now you have heaven number 1 where the birds fly, and heaven number 2 where the sun, moon, and stars are, and then heaven number 3, the abode of God. There's only going to be 1 heaven when he makes a new heaven and the earth, and the light in the abode of God will be right here with us. It will be his light that shines upon us. There will be no need for the sun or moon or stars, according to the Bible. There is going to be a new earth, and that new earth will probably resemble the way the earth would have looked back in the days of Adam and Eve when they were first created before the fall of man. Now, the reason that God makes a new earth is because this earth is cursed. You read that back there in Genesis chapter 3, after the fall of man, the ground is cursed. Also, there has been much innocent blood that has been shed on this earth. And remember, the Lord said, even when Abel was killed, he said that the blood of Abel calls out to him. Can you imagine all the innocent people, to include babies, in this world, whose blood is crying out to the Lord? There's a reason why this earth is going to be destroyed. Okay, so this earth will be destroyed and a new one made. Now, I don't really know if he's going to, make a completely new earth, or he's just going to burn this one up and then use the same thing and redo it. I don't know. But it says there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. We also saw that there's going to be a new city, and that new city is going to be called New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem will descend down from heaven, and it will be where we as Christians will dwell forever and ever. The Bible describes this city as having 12 foundations. On each one of those foundations will be written one of the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. That's the 11 plus Matthias. The Apostle Paul will not have his name on it. He is not one of the apostles of the Lamb. But there'll be 12 apostles of the Lamb, and that'll be on the foundations. The city also has 12 gates, and on each of these 12 gates will be written one of the 12 tribes of Israel. According to the scriptures, each one of those 12 gates will be a pearl, which still to this day, that's the most amazing thing that I've ever read in the Bible, I think, because you have a whole gate that's a pearl. That's one big pearl, okay? It's either those gates are about this big, or that's a big pearl, okay? And so that's what it says. Each one of those gates is a pearl. By the way, that's where you get the phrase the pearly gates from, okay, is the fact that it's going to be pearls. Also in that city will be streets of pure gold that's transparent. Okay, according to John chapter 14, also there'll be mansions, and there'll be a mansion there for you if you're saved. Not only that, but God again will dwell physically with men during that time, just like he did before the fall. If you remember back there in Genesis, the voice of God was in the garden with Adam and spoke to him in the evening, the cool of the day. That God is going to be in the presence of us, of all the people, during that time. And of course, he will be our God, and we will be his people. And you say, well, who all is going to be there? Well, we are, but we're going to have new bodies. But then you also have the people who were living during the 1,000-year reign of Christ that were faithful. They're going to be there. And so there are going to be a lot of people there. And we'll be dwelling with the Lord physically. We'll be able to see him. We will be able to talk to him anytime that we want. Like I said, he will be our God and we will be his people. And then also we're told that this new city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and the length and the breadth are at the same height are equal. Now, if you read that description, then there's only two shapes that this city could be. One is a cube that would fit the description, where it says that it lieth four square, the length is as large as the breadth, and the length and the breadth and the height are equal. That could be a cube. It could also be a pyramid. Okay, either one of those shapes would work. You say, which one do you think it is? I personally believe it's a pyramid, but I'm not going to get into why. Okay, the shape of a pyramid. Okay, but that is the two shapes that it could be. We're also told that the walls of the city are jasper, and the foundation of the wall were garnished with all manner of precious stones, 12 precious stones in all. The light of that city is going to be brighter than anything that we have ever seen, because it will be the light of Christ's glory. That's going to be the light of the whole thing. And if you remember, in Christ, there is no darkness at all. He's light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And so if you're lit up by the light of Christ's glory, probably won't even be even shadows there. There'll be no darkness. Also within that city, we're told that a pure water of life, crystal clear, will be proceeding out of the throne of God. And the tree of life will be there, and the leaves of that tree will be for the healing of the nations. Now, we talked about how the people that come, that are faithful during the thousand-year reign, who do not have perfect bodies, when they get on this new earth, they eat the tree of the life, and it heals the nations, and therefore they will not die again after they eat those things, and after they eat of the tree. And so you have the pure water, river of water of life, and the tree of life there. Now, if you're saved here this morning, that is where you're headed. That you're going to be there. I mean, this is not some sort of fairy tale here. This is not just something that's made up. That's where you're going to be, okay? And that's your home. And one of these days you're going to be there. But I want to point out to you this morning, when we all get there in that city and in that new heaven and new earth, the way things are then, it's going to be absolutely permanent. In other words, once you get to that new heaven and new earth, it's going to be like that forever and ever and ever and ever. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of looking forward to all that. Amen. I mean, can you imagine living in an earth that like it was before the fall of man? And you're there, and there's a city and a new heaven and a new earth, and God's right there with us, walking around and talking to us. And man, can you? I mean, I just can't even imagine that. It will be perfect, and it will never change. Okay. Now, again, if that doesn't make you smile, I don't know what's wrong with you. But it makes me smile. But I want you to show you something else this morning that's going to make the new heaven and new earth and the new Jerusalem even more perfect. You say, well, how in the world could it be more perfect than what you just now said? Well, it's going to be more perfect because there are going to be some things that are missing there. Things that we have amongst us today that will not be there when we get there. You say, well, what are some of these things that's going to be missing? Well, number one, according to the Bible, Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, there will be no more death there. No more death. It says Revelation 21, 4, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Death is something that man has been putting up with now for 6,000 years. In fact, if you go in your Bible, you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 5, and you find out that everybody there in Genesis chapter 5, this person lived to be this long and he died. This person lived to be this long and he died, and he died and he died and he died, and that's what it is. And it's been like that for 6,000 years. Man's been dying every day. And death has conquered man for a long time, but once there is a new heaven and new earth, physical death will no longer exist. You'll never have to say goodbye to anybody. You'll never have to, there'll be no more funerals. There'll be no more headstones. There'll be no more cemeteries. None of that being on the new earth, new heaven and new earth, none of it. And so there'll be no more death. There'll be no more heartache over losing a loved one. Now, the reason why there's not going to be any more death is because the tree of life will be there, like I said, with the leaves for the healing of the nations. For us, we've already conquered death long before the new heaven and new earth ever come about, because once you're saved, and then, of course, we're going to go up on rapture day and we're going to get our new bodies and we'll not be able to die. But all those faithful people that the Lord takes from the old earth and to the new earth, those people, when he first takes them there before they eat of the tree of life, they would be able to die. But once they eat of that tree of life, they won't die anymore. And so there will be no more death. Something else, and that is there'll be no more sorrow or crying. No more sorrow or crying. Verse 21, chapter 21, verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying." Can you imagine living in a place where there are no tears ever shed? No tears. No one will ever be sad. I look out this morning, I see some sad looking folks. Amen. But there'll be none of that. You know what that means? That means everybody there is going to have a smile on their face. We're all going to be like, what's that preacher always walks around with a smile on his face? That's who we're going to be like. And nobody's ever going to be sad about anything. Nobody's ever going to worry about anything again. You will not have one worry when you get there. There'll be no abuse of any kind. There'll be neither physical nor verbal. And if there's no sorrow, no crying, it stands to reason that there'll be no more sickness at all either. Now, the reason I say that is if you get sick, then you're going to have sorrow. If you're going to be sick, you're not going to be happy about it. But there's not going to be any sickness there. There's not going to be any sorrow. There's not going to be crying there. Not even you'd be the common cold there. I know a lot of you are looking forward to that. Not only that, but the Bible says there'll be no more pain. No more pain. Revelation 21:4 again, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You know what that means? That means there'll be no more pain in childbearing. There'll be no more backaches. There'll be no more kidney stones. No more arthritis. No more pain of any kind. Back pain, thing of the past. Amen? None of that. Even your feet won't hurt. You can walk around all day long, your feet won't hurt. That's the way it's going to be. No pain. Now see, we hear that and we're like, oh, okay. Yeah, but that's because you've never lived a day in your life that there was not pain. Even when we're kids, when I was kids, things didn't hurt me naturally, but whenever I fell down and I cut myself, I still remember my dad using the stuff called methylate. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's also known as monkey's blood, if you didn't know. And it's a stuff that you put on there and it really stains your skin. Now, the good thing about it is, as a little kid, that once you put that stuff on there and it stains your skin, it's like war wounds. And you're telling everybody, look at this. But it didn't feel good when we put it on there. It was a lot of pain. Ain't going to be none of that when we get there. Ain't going to be any pain whatsoever. And, and if you think about it, that's the way God wanted things when he first made man. He didn't want there to be pain and suffering and crying and sorrow and death. But man, messed that thing up. Do you realize every time that you wake up and you got a backache, you know who you can blame? Man. God didn't intend for it to be that way. Every time you stump your toe, you can blame man. It's because man, death entered into the world, because man, pain entered into the world, because man, sickness entered into the world. But the Lord's going to reverse all that once there's a new heaven and a new earth. And so there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more death. There'll also be no more curse. No more curse. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. It says, "And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Because Adam ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, one of the consequences of that sin was that God cursed the ground. But in Revelation 22, verse 3, it says, and there shall be no more curse. No more curse. And so the ground's not going to be cursed anymore once we get to the new heaven and new earth. You say, what does that mean? Well, in Genesis chapter 3, the curse is explained. Turn, if you would, over to Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to show you what this curse meant and what it entailed. Genesis chapter 3. And I'm going to show you exactly the type of your earth right now. The ground is cursed. Okay. By the way, that's also one of the reasons that God did not accept the sacrifice of Cain, because Cain gave God a sacrifice that came from a cursed earth. Genesis chapter 3. All right, Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Notice it says, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Remember, there's not going to be any sorrow anymore in the new heaven and new earth. But verse 18, now here's what it's talking about when it's talking about the earth being cursed. It says, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. Now what that's saying is this earth is cursed, and because it's cursed, it produces weeds. Now how many of you ever went out barefooted and you're walking in your grass and all of a sudden you step on a cactus? Won't be any more of that when you get to the new heaven, new earth. There'll be no more weeds when you get to the heaven, new earth. The ground will not be cursed anymore when you get to the new heaven, new earth. If you wanted to plant tomatoes, you don't have to put anything there to protect it for bugs. You don't have to put anything on it to protect it, to keep the weeds down. You just plant the tomatoes and up comes tomatoes and no weeds whatsoever. Won't that be awesome? Amen? That's the way it's going to be. And nobody will have to work the ground anymore with the sweat of their face in order to get the herb that the earth yields. I do want to point out this. A lot of people think that work and labor is part of the curse back in Genesis. How many of you understand that's not true? Adam was put in the garden to tend the garden. And when he was put in the garden to tend the garden before the fall, it was an enjoyable thing. Amen? Now, I don't know how many of you, am I the only one that loves working in the garden? I do. But I've noticed that if you work in the garden, once it starts getting hot, you start to sweat, and pretty soon you're like, man, enough, I got to go in here and get cool. Amen? Well, listen, when that new heaven, new earth, if you wanted to have a garden, you can go out there and make a garden all you want to, and it ain't going to be the sweat of the brow that you're going to take care of it. It's going to be an absolute joy. That's your new heaven, new earth. It's going to be just like it was before the fall. And so it says that the thorns and thistles shall it bring forth thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. Not going to be like that new heaven and new earth. There'll be no weeds, no thistles. No one will have to work the ground by the sweat of their face. And when this earth was made, again, God intended to be that way, but man, again, messed it up. So there'll be no more curse. Not only that, but boy, you're going to like this one. There'll be no more devil. No more devil. Now, when God made the earth and created the earth the first time, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, along came the serpent. Now, I want you to just think about this. The serpent comes in there, and the devil had already fallen by the time he walks up to where Eve is. We know that because he came in the form of a serpent tempting somebody. Okay? Obviously, he had already fallen. My point is this. When the earth was made the first time, God allowed the devil to be there. And you say, well, why would God do something like that? And in fact, when you talk to people, a lot of times people will almost blame God because he allowed the devil to be in the garden in the first place. I want you to understand something. The devil did not make Eve or Adam eat that fruit. He tempted them. That's it. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit, it was their choice to do so. How many of you understand that? Devil didn't make them do anything. Devil tempted them. They had an option to do right. They had an option to obey God. They didn't do that. Now, by the time you get over here to this new heaven, new earth, it isn't about God saying, okay, I'm going to see if they're going to be obedient to me. Everybody that is there, when there's a new heaven and new earth, they've already proven that they love the Lord and they want to follow him. Every single person that will be on this earth, this new heaven, new earth, all of those people have already chosen God as their God and to be his people. How many of you understand that? Every one of them. That's what God has wanted since the beginning, is a people for his own name, a people that will be his people, and he could be their God, and or he could walk with them in the cool of the day. That's what he's always wanted. So by the time you get over here to this new heaven, new earth, there'll be no more devil. There'll be no more temptation. There'll be none of that, because God has himself a people that's established. Everybody on this earth, on the new earth, they'll all be believers. They'll all be children of God. They'll all love God. They'll all want to serve God. Nobody in this room has ever lived any time on this earth where that was true. Amen? The majority of people that you run into today are not believers. The majority. But it won't be like that then. Every single person on this earth, when there's a new heaven, new earth, they'll all be believers and they'll all be children of God. It's going to be different. And there'll be no more devil. Now, you say, well, where is the devil going to be at? Well, when you read back, if you'll notice, back in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, at the end of the thousand-year reign, after the devil is loose for a little season, he's going to gather an army as the sand of the sea. And he's going to gather an army around the holy city, which is Jerusalem. And that's at the end of the thousand-year reign on this earth, before there's a new heaven and new earth. And then after he gathers that army, that's when fire's going to come down, going to devour them. And in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, it says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and there they and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." That's where the devil's going to be. There will be no more devil when there's a new heaven and a new earth. There will be no more temptation. There'll be no more father of lies. None of that. For the first time since man's existence, man will live on this earth without the devil existing. And if there is no devil, and there is no death, and there is no curse, then there will be no temptation to sin whatsoever. Man will no longer have a tendency towards sin. Man will no longer have a bend towards sin like we are today. You know, the reason you sin is because you're a sinner today. That's the reason I sin. That's the reason you sin. You know, we steal things because we're thieves. We lie because we're liars. We sin because we are sinners. But when there's a new heaven, new earth, there won't be any of that. Won't be any of that anymore. And they'll be just like it was with Adam and Eve before the fall, except there'll be no devil. There will also be no more sin. Now, how do we know this? Well, even though the Bible never actually comes out and says that there'll be no more sin, once the new heaven and new earth are made, the evidence that there will be no more sin is pretty clear if you think about it. For starters, as we just learned, there'll be no more curse. Well, there's no more curse, then there can't be any more sin, because sin's going to bring a curse. And so if sin was still possible on the earth, then the possibility of the curse would still be there. Again, the earth was cursed because of Adam's sin. Not only that, but the wages of sin is death. That's always been and always will be. But that Bible says new heaven, new earth, there'll be no more death. Well, if there's no more death, then there can't be any more sin then, because the wage of sin is death, okay? But perhaps even a stronger argument that proves that there'll be no more sin at all on the new earth is the fact that God allows man to eat of the tree of life. It says the tree of life, the leaves are for the healing of the nations. And God allows man to eat of that tree on the new heaven and new earth. You say, well, how does that prove that there's not going to be any sin? Well, turn it back, if you're not already there, turn back to Genesis chapter 3 again. And if you'll remember, the tree of life was on this earth when God created it the first time. And then, of course, man sinned. And in Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 22. It says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil." Now, how did he do that? Because he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. "And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever, Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every which way to keep the way of the tree of life. What God did was he said this. He said, man sinned, and because he sinned, I can't let him eat of this tree of life because he'll live forever in a damned state. So he got Adam and Eve out of the garden and then protected that tree from ever being eaten by man. Now, when you get over here to the new heaven, new earth, you know what he says? Here's a tree of life. Come eat. Come eat. Listen, there can't be any sin there. If there was any sin, he wouldn't let everybody eat that tree of life. Why? They're going to live forever. You see what I'm saying? So that right there is an argument, a good argument saying that there won't be any more sin once there's a new heaven and new earth. But then finally, once there's a new heaven and new earth are made, there's something else that's not going to be there. And I think of all the things, no more pain, sorrow, crying, death, all those things are good. And no more devil, certainly that's good. But there's one more thing that's not going to exist on the new heaven and new earth. And this is something that we've always had with us. And that is, there will be no more time. No more time. Turn over, you would, over to Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. You've heard me say this before, but time has not always existed. You say, well, time has always had to exist. No, but listen, God has no beginning, no end. God has, eternity past, eternity future. But back there in Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. The beginning of what? Can't be the beginning of God because he has no beginning or end. So it has to be a beginning of something. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. It's the beginning of time. All right? So if you can imagine this right here, eternity past. And then this right here, eternity future. And let's say that the heaven and earth. This is the heaven and earth that you live on right now. Not the new heaven and new earth. Heaven and earth right now. Time would have started at the beginning when it was made. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And it goes all the way over here until there's a new heaven and new earth right there. That's time. God existed eternity past here. He's going to exist eternity past there. New heaven and earth are made right there. There'll be no more time according to Revelation chapter 10. No more time at all. And then from here, it's eternity. Now, in this right area right here, there's time. It's a countdown to the new earth. It's when this earth was made to the next time that when God makes a new heaven and new earth. But here, there's time in this. Now, God is outside of time. When you go to heaven, know what he said? He says, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day in heaven. But listen, the outer space and the first heaven and earth, there's time here, but there's not time up here in heaven. God's not in time. God's not restricted by time. He's outside of time. So will you. You'll be the same way. Once the Lord takes you home or the rapture happens and you go meet the Lord in the air, you don't need a watch in heaven, folks. There's no time there. But on this heaven and new earth, there'll be no more time. But right now, there's time. We're in time. Right now, you need a watch. Right now, you know that you're going to live a certain amount and then the Lord's going to take you home. What, the life expectancy for a male today is like 73, 74? Life, especially for a female, is a little bit older than that. I don't know why that is, but, you know. But that's they're a little bit older, a couple of years older. You need to worry about that sort of stuff here. But once you get here, there's no more death. There's no more pain. There's no more sorrow. There's no more time. Boy, I tell you what, ain't going to be great to throw your watch away. You know, you say, well, what do you mean there's no more time? Listen, if you're living for eternity, Who cares what time it is? Amen? Well, there won't even be night there. There'll be no sun, moon, or stars. There'll be no night. It'll be light all the time. And you're just walking with the Lord and serving the Lord and praising God, new heaven and new earth for all eternity. And you won't have to worry about time anymore. Time will be no more. It says there in Revelation chapter 10, verse 6, it says, And I swear by him that lived forever and ever, who created heaven and all things that are therein, and the earth that are therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, talking about the things that he created, he says that there should be time no longer. Time began on this earth when it was created. It ends on this earth when new earth is created. Okay? And there'll be no more time. Now, obviously, we tell time today. You can use a watch. You can use sundial. Even your 24-hour days are based on sun going up, sun going down. You know, that's basically where time began. But remember, there'll be no more sun, moon, or stars. No more sun, moon, or stars when you get there. Now, you know what that means? That means there'll be no more birthdays. I used to enjoy birthdays when I was a kid. But you know, once you start getting past 50 years old, who cares? You know what I'm saying? It's just another day. But there'll be no more birthdays. There'll be no more calendars. No more calendars. No more New Year celebrations. No more 4th of July celebrations. There'll be many new things that'll be there once the new heaven and new earth are made. But there'll be some things that are missing there too. Death, sorrow, crying, pain, the curse, the devil, even time. All those things will be missing. But I tell you one thing that won't be missing, and that's the Lord. The Lord will be there. The Lord is with you today. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be there when you die, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And he'll be with you forever when that new heaven and new earth is made. That's what you have to look forward to. That's your future, folks. If you're saved, that's your future. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Not only will the Lord be there, but his words will be there too. Do you realize the Bible that you're reading right now that will be there in heaven? It'll be there on the new heaven and new earth. It won't pass away. It'll be there. Now, I have showed you, starting from Adam, every single age on this earth, and then we looked at after the ages. And what you got in the last, how long we've been doing this? Probably 4 months, probably. In the last 4 months, you got probably more prophecy in this Sunday school class than probably most Christians that you know today. You learned a lot. But what I want you to understand about all this is this. All those ages that God did, he proved, is to prove that man is wicked. Every age, because every age puts man in a different position to where he's living in this way, and now he's living under these circumstances, then he's living under these circumstances. And at the end of it all, at the end of this, before the Lord destroys this earth, he is going to show that it doesn't matter how good man has it or what situation man is in, he is still a sinner and he will still mess that thing up. It doesn't matter how good it is. You get to the great white throne of judgment, no man will have an excuse. Nobody will be able to say, well, if I had a better environment, well, how good was Adam and Eve's environment? They fell. Well, if I'd have had the law written down to where I knew what was wrong and right, well, they had that. They broke the law anyway. Amen. Well, if I just had it in my heart, well, the law is already written in the hearts of people today. Well, if I just had a perfect ruler on this earth to set me straight, well, the Lord's going to rule for 1,000 years, but yet man still messes it up. And so all the way through all those ages, God is going to prove that man's still a sinner. And when it's all over with, the one thing that God's wanted since day one is to have a people for his own. And that's exactly what he's going to have when the new heaven and new earth. If you're saved, you'll be there. If you're not saved, you've got in this time to receive Jesus Christ. And if you don't do it in this time, you'll die, you'll step outside of eternity, and you'll spend eternity in hell. Amen? I hope everybody's saved, because I'm really looking forward to this. I mean, you start reading about what we got coming our way. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. And it may be a whole lot closer than what you think.